Okay, fun seekers, you know, all semester long we've been discussing building our portfolio, the accumulation phase, building up our nest egg using investments, specifically stocks and bonds and mutual funds that buy stocks and bonds. But now it's time for us to talk about the distribution phase, drawing down our nest egg, stocks, bonds, in retirement. And there's nothing more important in retirement, in my humble opinion, than your asset allocation. And so this is the place to discuss that. So we're going to take a look at a few scenarios. We're going to take a look at bonds in retirement, which was always the recommendation. You want to make sure you're heavily invested in bonds in retirement. You don't want to lose your money. We'll also take a look at an all-stock portfolio, which, you know, just up until a few years ago, still was considered insanity. And these are both through mutual funds. And then we'll take a look at those same mutual funds in a 50-50 split, a stock fund and a bond fund. And then finish up by taking a look at a well-run, balanced fund where they are able to move back and forth between the stocks and the bonds as they see fit and see what that can do for us. Okay? So I have these all queued up on the local hard drive, so I'm going to move that down here. So our first illustration is a bond fund only, a bond only. And again, you've seen these, right? Be afraid, be very afraid, because you may lose money, especially if you have a short-term time horizon. Past results are not predictive of future results. Nobody reads it, but it's there for the lawyers. And so we're going to start with a nest egg of $400,000. I thought about doing $500,000, but I don't know. I can do it again if you want me to, $400,000, because it might sound like a lot of money now for you folks just starting out, but I'm certainly hoping you're going to do a whole lot better than that, especially if you start young and you saw what we saw in previous presentations, right? So we're going to go back. We have to go backwards in time, but we're going to assume that we retired 25 years ago with a nest egg of $400,000. And this is what's typical. You'll hear there are lots of different versions of it. Withdraw 4%, 5%, 6%. Some people say, no, withdraw a bunch in the beginning because, you know, you want to have fun at the beginning of your retirement and then you're going to be old and decrepit at the end. Whatever. But let's start with 5% annually. And then every year we'll increase the amount that we withdrew by 3%. No, not 5, 11, 5, 8, 11, 14. No, no, no. We'll start with the 5% and then increase that amount by 3% every year. And we'll see what happens, okay? So we're starting off taking about $20,000 a year out of $400,000 because that's 5% of $400,000. But we see that it's increasing. And as a bond fund, we took a little bit of hit in 1994. That was the last year before the Great Recession, that bonds had gone down. But we see that our nest egg is actually growing a little bit because, you know, we're getting 5, 6, 7% from our bonds, which is what we got back in the 1980s and into the 90s. And then what happened? We hit the peak in around 2004 here, it looks like. Here's the peak. And now, because our withdrawals are increasing, now we start eating into our principal here. Because we're always continually to take more out, but our nest egg is not growing as fast as it would with, say, stocks. And then 2008 happens. Bonds got hit hard. Nowhere near as hard as stocks, but pretty hard. And they rebounded some in 2009. But now we're on the downhill slide. And this is what people expect. And they expect for their nest egg to just start dwindling as they get closer and closer to their ultimate demise. So we started with $400,000. We took out over $725,000, which, you know, it's not too bad. If it had been in a bank, we would have gotten a whole lot less. We would have run through that money a whole lot quicker. And we still have $154,000, but we're 90 years old by this time, right? We started at 65 and 25 years, and 5.66%, which is, you know, not bad for bonds, especially the last few years. Bonds have been paying very little. And so the graph shows us that. There was that little hit in 1994, but we came back and our portfolio was doing fairly nicely. And remember, we're withdrawing more every year as inflation goes up. And there's people saying, no, you're going to redraw less when you get in your 80s. You're going to withdraw more in your 60s and 70s. We'll discuss that another day. But now here, there's 2008, but bonds recovered. But we see there's 2008 right there. We see that now our nest egg is dwindling, and that's what we expect. That's what people just expected to happen. But that was when that's not supposed to happen. Go away. That was at a time when people just didn't live as long. Right? You live 25 years in retirement. Oh, my Lord. You know, people used to live 2 or 3 or 5 years in retirement. They retire at 62 and die at 64 or not even make it to 65. So that's changing. And now what people are saying is, you know, you need some stocks in retirement. You need some growth. So this portfolio now uses not a bond fund. There's the scary stuff. Be afraid. Be very afraid. But that one mutual fund that we looked at way back in Chapter 4, that's been around for over 80 years, right? And so it's a stock mutual fund. It's fairly conservative as stock mutual funds go, but still, you know, it gets hit hard during bad times. So here's the scary stuff. Be afraid. Be very afraid. We're going to stay with the exact same amount. Our nest egg is at $400,000. We'll start taking 5% out and then increase it by 3% every year, that original amount. So we're going to wind up taking the exact same amount out as in withdrawals that we did with our bond fund. And we started in 94 right before the market went hyperkinetic. So even though we're pulling money out, within a few years, we have double what we had. Oh, my goodness. Well, that was a very auspicious time for stocks. And then, of course, we had the 2000 to 2002 bear market. And our almost $1 million goes down to 771. But we have faith in the American economy because this mutual fund is a domestic stock growth and income. They have some foreign companies. And sure enough, we didn't run, we didn't hide. And now our nest egg is growing again to $1.2 million, down to 776 in 2008. And we're in our... We're just approaching 80, so we just had a heart attack. No. We have faith in the world, and so it starts coming. But now notice our withdrawals are going up every year. But now the last 10 years have been excellent for stocks. So we've withdrawn the same $725,000, almost $726,000 that we did from the bond portfolio, but now our nest egg is almost $2 million. Is this realistic? No, most people wouldn't want it to get that high. They'd start spending it. They'd be going on cruises. They'd be drinking champagne. But at the same time, you know, they are exposing themselves to some serious downside risk because they're all in stock. So this is just typically not something, every once in a while you'll see somebody like this who doesn't really care about the money. They just love to watch it grow. And you see, read about people who kept their stock portfolio and then just bequeathed it to the nieces or to the school that they went to or whatever. But that's, you know, few and far between. Most of us are going to use the money to live. And because we've invested, everything in the stocks, in the stock mutual fund, we see the roller coaster, which you should be fairly familiar with. Remembering that we're taking money out. We're not putting money in. We're taking money out. We've taken out $726,000 almost. Not bad. But is that realistic? No. Most people would not want an all-stock portfolio simply because of the volatility and the possibility of a huge loss. So here what we're going to do is we're going to blend the two. We're going to use those same two mutual funds, the bond mutual fund and the stock mutual fund. There's the scary part. But we'll use them 50-50. We'll do 50-50 bonds, 50-50 stocks. and we'll take out that same 5%. Here it is. Take out the same 5% starting in 25 years ago, and increase that by 3% every year. And we're going to wind up taking the exact same amount of money out. But because we now have bonds and stocks, in the 1990s, it doesn't skyrocket the way the stock market did. But then, at the same time, it doesn't fall that precipitously in 2000 to 2002. And then in 2007, we have about 836, and we don't fall anywhere near as far. But we still fall! 836 to 570, what is that, 40, 50,000, 60,000. That's still a big drop. But we don't run, we don't hide, and it comes back, and we've taken out of our $400,000 nest egg the same $726,000 or so, and we are our portfolio is still over a million at 8.76%, which is not bad, right? Pretty good. I mean, you wouldn't, yeah. And in fact, as we said, you probably would not allow it to get that big. You'd start taking more out. You'd say, hey, I can afford to withdraw more in my retirement. And so we see the graph looks similar to the one in the stock, not like the one in the bonds where our nest egg started falling precipitously, but we lived through 2000 to 2002 and then 2008. Right? Now, this is pretty good, right? But let's do one better, because this is why I'm a big fan of bond funds. I mean, I'm sorry, balance funds, especially for those people who are getting into their 50s, 60s, and then into their retirement. Why? Because, as we said, people are living longer. I have a hard time believing this, but a person turning 50 years old today has a 50-50 chance of living to 100. I don't know about that, but hey, I'm not the expert in that. I talk about finance and investments, not longevity. So here we're going to use a balanced fund. And a balanced fund, same scary stuff, be afraid, be very afraid. But a well-run balanced fund, in my humble opinion, should be run such a way that it always has some kind of balance. That it doesn't, it's not a tactical, sometimes called asset allocation fund or a dynamic strategies fund, something that says, oh yeah, we want to put everything in bonds or everything in the stocks or everything in the cash. That to me is bogus. That smacks of market timing, and you better be pretty darn lucky, and you got to be lucky twice. You got to decide when the market's going to fall and then when it's coming back. Whereas a well-run balanced fund, in my humble opinion, will always have 60-40 or 50-50. This one, particular one, it's been around for many decades, says, look, we will never be more than 75% stocks, 25% bonds, and we will never be less than 50% stocks, 50% bonds. So they have some leeway. They have some flexibility to say, you know, we think stocks are a better buy now, so let's increase our stock exposure. Or we're a little worried, let's decrease our stock exposure, raise our bond exposure. And what does that do for the money manager? Well, if they're good, it allows them to avoid the large losses and take advantage of the downturns. So let's see how they did. We start with that same $400,000 nest egg, and we start withdrawing 5%, increasing that by 3% every year. And we see that our nest egg did fairly well throughout the 90s. Everybody did. But then look at the downturn in 2000 to 2002. Nowhere near as bad. Just a little, it actually went up in 2001, well, because bonds did pretty well in 2001. And they lost a little bit in 2002, even though the market as a whole, the stock market, went down almost 50% between 2000 to 2002, this S&P 500. And then they did modestly well throughout the 2000s. 2008, over 200,000. Yeah, there was no place to run or hide in 2008. Everybody got hammered. And then it's coming back nice, smartly. And sure enough, we've taken out the same $726,000, but instead of the little over $1 million we had by going with the stock and the bond fund, these people were able to have our resulting nest egg at almost $5 million, $1.47 million, with 9.53% annual rate of return, because they had that flexibility to alter their portfolio, which is what, you know, everyone says they're going to do, but nobody does it well. I mean, not nobody, but obviously very few people do it well. And we see that the volatility that we saw in the stock funds, it's still there, but not as bad. It's not as rough. It's still at 2008, but there was no place to hide there. You had to suck it up that time. So, makes sense? What do you think? If you want to see others, now again, that 400,000, I just picked that number out of my hat. If you folks start early and the world doesn't end, invest in high quality companies for the long term, you should do better than that. Yes, you should. Go back to chapter one and go do those future value exercises. Take a look at chapter four again and what stock mutual funds can do for us. And allocation is all, folks. Don't be afraid of stocks in retirement is the takeaway. You don't want to be whole hog. You don't want to be putting money into the most high-flying companies. You want companies that we've talked about, the long-term dividend-rich companies that have their roots deep in the economy, that have been around for decades and will continue to be around, assuming the world doesn't end. Cool. Now, if you want to see any other illustrations, contact me. I can talk about this stuff a lot longer than any reasonable person would ever want to listen. So if you want to take a look at what happens if you have $1 million or 500,000 or whatever, or 200,000, contact me. All right. Thank you so much for making it this far, folks, because this is it. You know, we've gone through the most important parts of the semester, and now we're ready for some things that would rather be left unsaid in polite company, like derivatives, options, and futures. And thank you very much for being in our class.